You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, one and all. Whether you're a triumphant Tory or you're a lackluster Labour supporter this morning, Specials Podcast is always here to cheer you up. My name's Lee Phelps. Reality Rob Dixon's on the line. Both a bit tired, aren't we, Rob, from watching the election last night?
Yeah,
we're too old for this lark.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure 5 years ago it was a lot easier.
Yes, indeed. It'll only get harder as it goes on. Yeah. We're going to talk about Britain's Got Talent, of course. We'll also have a chat about the BAFTA TV Awards. We've got some Glastonbury specials, Top Gear specials, Strictly Come Dancing specials, and Eurovision Song Contest is hotting up, Rob. Should we start with Britain's Got Talent? The odds look like this. Callum Scott, still a favourite, 7-2. Revelation Avenue, 6-1. Claw Glenathway, 9-1. New name in the betting, Maya Goff is 9-1. Now, Maya Goff was the young girl who, she sang a Whitney Houston song, didn't she?
Yeah.
And was very good.
She was.
That's about as far as that goes. Boy band 10-1. They were the dance. Old Men Grooving at 16-1. 14-1, in fact. What did you make of Old Men Grooving? I didn't make too much to it, Rob.
I liked them, but I don't know where they go. I don't think there's any marketability on them. And I think once the initial impact of what they did sort of wore off, what they're going to do next, you kind of, I think they're one of these that will probably get to the final but be like sort of 40-50-1 to win, win once we get down to sort of the final 10 or 11.
Yeah, fair enough. Next up in the betting, Becky O'Brien, 16-1, 60-1 for Henry Gallagher. We've seen all these acts, of course. Same price for IMD Legion and Jamie Raven, the magician. Isaac Waddington, 20-1. Another new name in the betting, Jonathan Lutwicz at 20-1. He was the young dancer from Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Do you like him?
Well, considering I know most people actually in Gibraltar, I don't know him. But no, it was contemporary dance, so I think he was okay, but I'm not sure he's what people were sort of looking for. So I can pounce on him at that price, definitely.
Yeah, agreed. Obviously, we've got loads more acts here, but there's not much point in going any further than the 20s. 33-1 and bar the rest. The Neils, actually, are the only last other one in the 20-1 bracket. We're at a funny stage of this, Rob, aren't we? Because I'm watching it and I'm a bit bored, if I'm being completely honest. You know, I think we need to get to the semi-finals now. I mean, it's kind of, there's nothing coming on stage that's making me like laugh like mad. There's nothing coming on stage that's making me go, wow, they're incredible. It's just hit a bit of a lull, this series, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're getting to the sort of stage that we get to on The Voice, where I've sort of just had enough and waiting for the live show. I mean, the live show, we're not too far away from the live shows, are we? So hopefully we'll see some talent tomorrow night, which will make us change our mind.
Yeah, one of the acts that ITV.com, the Britain's Got Talent pages, are pushing is a former police officer called Aaron Carty. Sequin bodysuit, killer heels, but will his bootylicious performance impress our judges? So, we'll see. That looks like a real entertaining kind of like a drag act, if you like. Yeah, so we'll see what that's all about. Just a quick couple of other little specials around the TV world. The two appearing Strictly betting. Carol Kirkwood's gone 2-1 on now. 4-1, Hetty Bywater. Dermot O'Leary, sixes. So is Graham Swan and Mike Tindall. Adrian Charles, 8-1. Ed Balls is 8-1. Got nothing else to do now, is he? Joey Essex, the same price. John Altman as well. Chris Evans, Kevin Peterson, Louise Minchin, Michael Owen, old nines. And then these lot are all tens. Chris Moyles, David Walliams, John Turode, Matthew Lewis, Tim Henman, Zara Phillips, 12-1 and bigger. A load more personalities. Are you seeing much money for that market at the minute?
I've seen the front two have been quite popular. Carol Kirkwood seems to be pretty much signed up for it. Obviously, she's the weather girl for for BBC Breakfast, and they've got quite a big sort of roll call from that, with obviously Chris Hodgins being the main one when he went and won a few years back.
I
think it wouldn't surprise me. There's nothing the schedule that she has, it's perfect for her to do, and it sort of just raises the profile, and plus the fact that she's on the BBC, it won't cost her too much money.
Yeah, true. There's some similar names in the Top Gear market, which is Top Gear specials. These are to host the show. They must host a minimum of 3 Top Gear episodes, and Jeremy Clarkson must not appear in that episode. Dermot O'Leary 6-4, Phil Glenister 11-4, Jody Kidd 3s, Guy Martin 6-1, 8-1 Chris Evans, 9-1 Sue Perkins, Eddie Jordan, Jake Humphrey, Stephen Fry and Steve Coogan all 14s, Johnny Vaughan, Nigel Farage, Susie Perry and Vicky Butler-Henderson all 16s and 22-1 and bigger the rest. Glastonbury, Rob. No one had a bet on the Who headlining the Pyramid Stage, did they?
Did you not even want my opinion on Top Gear?
No.
Okay.
Oh, go on. If you got an opinion.
I had an opinion.
Go on.
I think the favourite's far too short.
There's a surprise.
I think Dermot O'Leary, I think there's rumours that they're bringing Top of the Pops back later on in the year for BBC,
right.
And I've got a sneaky feeling that Dermot O'Leary's been lined up for that.
Okay.
With Fern Cotton, I believe, as sort of co-host. I know that the BBC's choice of 3 would be the next 3 in the betting, Guy Martin, Jodie Kidd and Flip Glenister.
You know that, do you?
I know that because I've read it. The Daily Mail have told me that.
Okay, that's good old Daily Mail. The Pyramid Stage, I'm told he didn't take a penny on the Who.
Headlining. Did not take a penny on
what
the
a lovely
Who.
Market for you then.
Yeah. Very it was good. Another profitable for once special. I think we'd lost out on the other two, so it's quite good to finally get one right.
Yeah, nice. Now you are betting on what song they will sing last at Glastonbury 2015. Won't Get Fooled Again 4-5. Magic Bus 3-1. 8-1 Baba O'Reilly. 10-1 My Generation. Pinball Wizard is 10. So is Tea and Theatre. 14-1 See Me, Feel Me and Sparks. Join together 20s and You Better You Bet 20-1. Is that how the prices opened up? Rob, I didn't see this market.
They are
exactly
the same as the prices opened up, yeah. Based on the latest tour set list...
4-5 is an absolute steal.
Yeah, it's between the two. Magic Bus, though, is actually the official song that they should have at the end, but they have moved them around a bit, so Magic Bus hasn't all... Magic Bus has been more the American side of the tour, that they finished with Magic Bus, but the European side of the tour... has been Won't Get Fooled Again.
I can tell you that if you go to setlist.fm, as I have been doing, and look back at their entire tour of the States recently, then you will see that every single show has finished with Won't Get Fooled Again. I think that 4-5 is an absolute beauty of a price.
An absolute beauty of a price.
Very nice indeed.
Glastonbury. They can do things different.
They can do whatever they want. But why? Yeah. But why would a band who've been around for so long change it for Glastonbury? They wouldn't. There's no need to.
No, I quite agree. There's no need to.
Next, the BAFTAs. We've talked about this quite a lot, haven't we, Rob? Have there been any? Rather than going back through it all again for our listeners who've listened to us going about it before, has there been many changes?
Yeah, I was hoping the podcast listeners have got involved in Toby Jones's marvellous lead, and they have a bit. It's our worst result now. We're down to 3-1 now from the 7-2.
We're powerful, aren't we?
Yeah, quite happy to take Benedict Cumberbatch on at the 10-11. I said there was a case for last week for the second and third favourites, both Toby and James Nesbitt to make this close, and the punters seem to agree with us. So we are now top price Benedict Cumberbatch. At the 10-11 for Sherlock.
Yeah. Nothing else moved much then?
There was an interesting one for the best reality, because that's always the one that we've got to look out for. On
8-13, isn't it?
Amersleb. We've laid the Undateables, which is
really.
I thought it was a little bit left field. I didn't know. It's a good program, obviously, but it sort of surprised me. The gamble, I think, to me, I think I'm a celebrity's assert at 8-13, but we have seen money on the Undateables. We were 5-1, and we're now 7-2.
Yeah, interesting one. Eurovision Song Contest then. We're only like a week or two away from the semi-finals, aren't we here?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. 19th of May they start, and first semi-finals on Tuesday the 19th of May. Second semi-final on the 21st of May, the Thursday night, with the grand final being at 8 o'clock on the 23rd.
As usual, we'll get some experts on board, and Rob himself as well, of course, who is an expert and loves this. Semi-final one, we've got priced up the winning market, 13-8 Estonia, 5-2 Russia, 4-1 Finland. Then you jump up to 10s for Albania, 14s for Belarus, 14s for Belgium, 20-1 for Macedonia, 25s for Armenia and Greece and Serbia, 33s for Georgia, Holland, Romania, 50-1 for Denmark and Hungary, with 66s Moldova, a fifth of the odds for a place in the top three here. Semi-final number two, we've got the actual favourites for the whole thing, Sweden at 4-9 to win the second semi. Then a big jump to 7-1 Azerbaijan and Norway, plus Slovenia, 20s for Iceland, Latvia, Cyprus and Lithuania, with Malta are all 25s. It's 33s Israel, 40s Ireland, 50-1 for Poland and Montenegro, 66s the Czech Republic and Switzerland, and a big triple figure, 100-1 for Portugal and San Marino. That second semi-final strikes me as having a bit of an each-way value about it there, Rob. I know that's only a third of the odds for a place in the top two, that one, though. Why the difference?
It's just really the price of Sweden is sort of cataract everything that there's not enough real percentage to have three places at the moment on it. So,
but from 7-1 and bigger, you're getting a third of the odds for a second place. Basically, it's not bad.
Yeah, definitely. There's value in there if you can find it. Mm. I will tell one thing about this. Obviously, this time last year, you had Austria who eventually won it, were 50-1 shot, and the Netherlands who were second were 100-1. So this is. We say it every year, the rehearsals are so important in this. If you go onto the Eurovision website, it's got a link to the rehearsal schedule. The rehearsals start on Monday morning. Moldova are going first. I think it's actually in order of how they're performing in the semi-finals. So check out the rehearsal schedule. Find out when you're... the country that you like is performing. The videos are normally up pretty sharpish these days on YouTube. There's some fantastic Eurovision websites out there with some brilliant experts who are actually out there in the press watching these rehearsals, and they'll be sort of blogging and tweeting back for how the performances have gone. But the prices change so much during rehearsals that you can get the situation like last year where a 50-1 shot will go off at 2-3-1, whatever price Austria did.
Mm.
So sort of keep your eyes and ears going for the sort of next sort of 10 days of rehearsals.
Yeah. Check out one of those websites, esctips.com. We'll be hopefully speaking to Gav from the website a little bit closer. They've got all sorts of goodies on there, haven't they, with various experts. I think they've even got a podcast, Rob.
They've got a podcast, which, to be quite honest, I've listened to it regularly. It is miles better than ours. Ours gets more listeners, so that's just the way of life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's they know how it feels to be a Lib Dem, don't they?
Exactly. Basically. Yeah, they've got involved. But like, if we can have some sort of Eurovision coalition, maybe with Gav in the next 10 days, and we'll put it out for listeners.
Yeah, but what Gav's done there is done. If you look at, you can look at the semi-finals, and he's given them a star rating. So there's a couple with 5 stars, Sweden and Latvia, just to nick his work. Latvia are 20-1, by the way. So check their website out, and if you want to follow Gav on Twitter himself, it's ESCTips_Gavster. GAVSTER. Like I say, hopefully we'll be speaking to him about Eurovision in the next couple of weeks, Rob. Anything else to discuss? I think we've probably much done it, haven't we? Next Pope? You want to chat about the next Pope?
No.
What about the Royal Baby? Did you enjoy the Royal Baby? Took a lot of money on it.
Yeah, lovely. It was a lovely little Royal Baby, wasn't it? I was surprised that we actually ended up taking as much money on the on this one as we did the last one.
Right.
I thought the press coverage was, obviously with the election coming up, I thought the press coverage was a sort of a lot less than what it was last time round.
But yeah.
uh, end up with about the same money and about the same profit, which was good. So congratulations to anybody who backed Charlotte. And from a trader point of view, I hope they lose it over the weekend.
Interestingly, I'm not a big royalist, but I was chatting to my mum and dad the other day. My mum loves the Royals. I was chatting to my dad, doesn't. Chatting to him about the fact that Princess Charlotte is fourth in line to the throne. And I was saying, the Queen's, knocking on a little bit here, but you can't see her abdicating. You'd imagine maybe, we'd have a new monarch in the next, what do you reckon, 5 to 10 years maybe?
Yeah.
Now, we're betting on who will be the next monarch after the Queen. 1 to 4 for Prince Charles. He's 66 years old now. And I was saying, I wonder if there's a possibility that he'll just pass it over to his son, Prince William, who's next in line for the throne. I mean, I thought I'd have a look at this, see what he said about it. In November 2012, he pretty much said that time was running out for him then. We're 3 years on. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, the Queen Mum lived till 101. She's in her late 80s now. Yeah. Interesting.
Who's next in line after... Well, I know that, but...
William, then George, then...
Prince Charles dies. Say the Queen abdicates. Prince Charles takes over. Mm. Prince Charles abdicates. Who would get it then?
Prince William.
Mm. So, I suppose you're just cut out the middleman, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you just wonder if it... all I'm thinking is if you get to the stage where if the Queen abdicates or, God forbid, dies... She will one day, but we don't want to be, put in the tower for this. And Prince Charles is kind of like maybe early 70s when that happens. Then I wonder if he'd just be a bit too old. I mean, I know kings can reign at whatever age they want to be, but I just wonder if he would pass it straight over. Now, look, I'm not suggesting that Prince William at 11 to 4 is a good bet when you've got to wait a decade for it to pay out, but I just thought it was interesting.
That was my slight issue, wasn't it, that you would have to wait a decade. I remember having a bet on the next Man United manager when it looked like Ferguson was going to quit and ended up waiting sort of 12 years for a loser, basically.
But at least you probably get paid out quicker on that or not than William and Kate's baby specials. How many kids will they have? I mean, we'll have to wait till Kate's, 45 before we get paid out on that one?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
There's lots of specials on site. The people who have backed
future World Cups.
George to play football for England, stuff like that, isn't it?
Yes. There's people who work here at William Hill who had bets on teams to win a World Cup in 20 years' time. I'm like, are you mad? Put your money in the bank.
Jeez. Yeah, there was always the old Belgium to win the World Cup, wasn't there? Yeah. Those have gone through. And the Man United bet turned out to be the longest running bet I think I ever had. So I think that was a good 10, sort of 12 years. So,
Brilliant.
Rob, by my choice, I thought he was getting fired the next week. I thought I was all right. And then I've sat there with this bet. I think it was Martin O'Neill I backed, and he was like 10 to 1.
Right.
And he's been about 50 to 1 for the last sort of 7-8 years before he went. So it was
brilliant.
Not only was I waiting for 12 years, I was on the worst price.
Oh, well, the lament of the punter, eh, Rob?
Exactly.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great weekend. And we'll speak next week. That's @reality_Rob. My Twitter address is @LeePhelps. We'll be back again next week to discuss more of the same. In the meantime, thank you for listening to the podcast. There are a few ways you can get it, however you've listened to it. It's on audioboom.com. It's on williamhill.com/podcasts. And you can subscribe via iTunes as well. Thank you for listening. And if you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.